This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Migrants make Mexico. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, October 22nd, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A caravan of mostly Hondurans has walked across Guatemala to the Mexico border with an ultimate goal of reaching the U.S.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin visits Saudi Arabia today in the wake of accusations that the kingdom may have played a role in the death of a journalist.
President Trump says he plans to back out of a nuclear weapons treaty with Russia. Hear his reasons why.
And the trend of more women having babies later in life.
Yeah, so this kind of came up, with the news that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are expecting their first baby, and Meghan Markle is 37, and she's not the only woman who is now having a baby in their 30s. That's actually becoming more common than having babies in your 20s.
Market Watch reporter Maria LaMagna on the Duchess of Sussex having her first child closer to the age of 40 than 30. That trend in about 20 minutes. Under pressure to sanction Saudi Arabia over the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, the Trump administration is looking for ways to maintain the strategic alliance between the two countries. Lawmakers from both parties want sanctions as Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin prepared to visit Saudi Arabia today. He told a small group of reporters that the administration's relationship with Riyadh was critical to the U.S. campaign to counter Iran's bid to become the region's dominant power. New York Republican Congressman Peter King.
The Saudis do provide very effective intelligence. They are a bulwark against Iran, and they have been working closely with Israel.
He was on ABC's This Week, along with California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff.
Relationship-altering event for the U.S. and Saudi Arabia that we ought to suspend military sales. We ought to suspend certain security assistance.
Saudi Arabia said early Saturday that Mr. Khashoggi died in its Istanbul consulate after a fist fight. Some 18 Saudi nationals have been detained in connection with the incident. President Trump says he intends to withdraw from the landmark weapons treaty known as the INF, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces. That's brought criticism from Russian officials and from former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, who signed the treaty with President Reagan 31 years ago. The president said Russia has violated terms of the treaty that prohibit the U.S. and Russia from possessing, producing, or testing cruise missiles with a range of 300 to 3,400 miles.
Russia has not adhered to the agreement, so we are going to terminate the agreement and we are going to develop the weapons. If they get smart, and if others get smart, and they say, let's not develop these horrible nuclear weapons, I would be extremely happy with that.
Russia has repeatedly denied the allegations. National Security Advisor John Bolton faces 2 days of high-tension talks in Moscow beginning today, following Mr. Trump's announcement. Russia's deputy foreign minister was quoted as telling the state news agency that leaving the treaty, quote, would be a very dangerous step. A caravan of migrants from Central America marching into Mexico with the ultimate destination of the United States has grown to at least 5,000 people. Some, many from Honduras, floated across the river that separates Guatemala and Mexico using inner tubes from truck tires and wooden planks. The Los Angeles Times, citing the head of the local government's emergency services, reported that 7,200 migrants had registered over the past 3 days at a Mexican shelter in Ciudad Hidalgo on the border. President Trump has threatened to use the U.S. military to seal the border.
We really appreciate what Mexico has done on the border. We appreciate it. First time this has ever happened, and hopefully it's because they respect the leader of the United States.
On Twitter yesterday, Mr. Trump said those migrants seeking asylum must first apply in Mexico. He said if they fail to do that, the U.S. will turn them away. But Mexican officials have said migrants seeking asylum are under no legal obligation to apply in Mexico. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. In a year where Democrats are considered the favorites to win back control of the House, many of the races now tightening are in districts where President Trump won modestly in 2016. Still, Republicans say they are becoming more confident that they could have a shot at a pair of Nevada races. It's a story by Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Christina Peterson. Christina, explain this.
So what I was looking at in particular were races that were kind of ignored at the beginning of the cycle and people didn't think would become competitive, but in the last sort of final stretch here have become closer than people expected they would. And we're seeing that in particular in a handful of districts where the president won, but not by a huge amount. So maybe a 49% victory, 53%. So districts, you know, that he comfortably carried, but where there is more room for a Democrat to pick up votes if people have become dissatisfied with the president.
All right. So one of them was like in Washington State. Explain that one.
Yeah. So it's very interesting because political analysts have had their eyes on two races in Washington State all year. And there is a third race that is sort of sneaking up on a lot of people and becoming very competitive. And that's the district currently held by Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler. She has been in office. She was elected in 2010 and has sort of cruised to victory in recent years. But this year has a significant challenger who has been outraising her and came in pretty close to her in the primary. In fact, the top two Democrats garnered more votes than Congresswoman Herrera Butler. And Washington State is one of those states where they have a top two primary. So the incumbent advanced, as did the highest performing Democrat, who is a woman named Carolyn Long. She's a political science professor. So it's an unusual race there in that this hasn't been considered, you know, one of the swingiest districts, but Carolyn Long's campaign just released a poll that had her up by 2 points. So it looks like, you know, it's getting to be a pretty tight race.
Wow. All right. How about Long Island, New York with the incumbent Republican Congressman Peter King?
Yeah, so this is probably a little bit more of a long shot, but he has a younger Democratic female opponent, and this is a year when those candidates are attracting a lot of energy and enthusiasm from voters, especially female voters. Our poll and other polls have shown a gender gap, and it reveals that women are show more of a preference for a Democratic-controlled House and are also more energized to vote this year. So, you know, it's a truism of midterms that it comes down to turnout, but if that is indeed the case, it looks like women are more poised to turn out, and that could help some of these female challengers. And in Long Island, Trump won, but I think he had around 53% of the vote, so not a huge blowout for him there.
Got it. We're speaking with Christina Peterson, Wall Street Journal congressional reporter. Her piece is called House Races Tighten as Midterm Elections Near. All right, how about down south in the suburbs of Atlanta with Congressman Rob Woodall?
Yes, so this is an interesting race. Congressman Woodall is definitely being outraised by Carolyn Bordeaux, who is also a professor. She's at Georgia State University. And he's in the suburbs of Atlanta, so this could have been one of the more like classic suburban battlegrounds that we're seeing. But it just wasn't really on people's radar for a while. One of the factors that could be at play here is that Stacey Abrams, at the top of the ticket, is trying to become the first black woman elected governor in Georgia, and Democrats hope that that could give a boost further down in the ticket and that Ms. Bordeaux could benefit from that.
Yeah. And so, and as part of that, do you look at two seats in Nevada as well?
So this is where Republicans are a little bit more optimistic. There are two open seats that have been held by that are currently held by Democrats, and so those, you know, a vacant seat, Republicans feel they have a better shot rather than unseating a Democratic incumbent. One of them is actually a rematch that we've seen before between Democrat Stephen Horsford and Republican Crescent Hardy. And then the second Nevada seat that Republicans are optimistic about is currently held by Congresswoman Jackie Rosen, who's a Democrat, but she is running for Senate in Nevada. This is a little bit, probably a little bit more of a long shot for Republicans because their candidate, Danny Tarkanian, has run many times before and not shown that he can win a congressional race. So that seems to be a little bit more of a stretch there. there.
Thanks, Christina. It's Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Christina Peterson. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Thousands of Honduran migrants have regrouped within Mexican territory and begun walking north from a town bordering Guatemala. The migrants, most of whom are fleeing poverty and violence at home, could fuel a fresh political rift between President Trump and the Mexican government just 2 weeks before midterm elections.
You have some very, very bad people in the caravan. You have some very tough criminal elements within the caravan. But I will seal off the border before they come into this country.
On Friday and Saturday, Mexican border officials refused to let the caravan enter the country, saying they would allow only about 150 people in at a time to apply for asylum. National Security Advisor John Bolton faces 2 days of high-tension talks in Moscow after President Trump announced his intention to withdraw from a landmark nuclear weapons treaty. Trump's announcement that the U.S. would leave the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces, or INF, treaty brought sharp criticism from Russian officials and former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, who signed the treaty in 1987 with President Reagan. Trump says Russia has violated terms of the treaty. In recent months, the Trump administration has repeatedly put off the release of its long-awaited Mideast peace plan. Now, the death of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi at the hands of Saudi agents may put the plan into a deep freeze. Republican Senator Rand Paul on Fox.
I think it's insulting to anyone who's in analyzing this with any kind of intelligent background to think that, oh, a fistfight led to a dismemberment with a bone saw.
Saudi Arabia's powerful Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was meant to be the linchpin of the peace plan, providing key diplomatic cover to both Israelis and Palestinians. A server at a popular hot dog joint in Greenville, North Carolina, got quite the tip on Friday afternoon, $10,000 in cash for two waters. The man left a note saying, "Thanks for the delicious water." Turns out the mysterious Good Samaritan was Mr. Beast, a YouTube star who has nearly 9 million subscribers. When asked why he did it, he said he wanted everyone to know the good things still happen to good people. The server kept $800, but split the rest with her coworkers.
Wow. How about being that person's coworker?
I know.
10,000
all around.
10,000 bucks in cash.
That's pretty nice.
Who travel? I guess YouTube stars travel with that kind of money?
I guess so.
I didn't think they knew like the feel of currency anymore.
That, it was a stack of money.
Boy, I never heard of Mr. Beast.
Well, we're not cool.
True. 23 minutes now after the hour. You may have heard that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, are expecting their first child. Ms. Markle, who's in her late 30s, is one of an increasing number of American women who are having babies in their 30s. More from Market Watch reporter Maria LaMagna. Maria, what do we have?
Yeah, so this kind of came up, with the news that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are expecting their first baby, and Meghan Markle is 37, and, she's not the only woman who is now having a baby, in their 30s. That's actually becoming more common than having babies in your 20s.
Wow. So what's the reason for this?
Yeah, so that actually switched for the first time ever in 2016, that there started to be more women in their 30s than younger moms. And part of the reason for that shift is that, women are getting married later in life. And another major part of it is that teenage pregnancies are actually down quite a bit. So it's kind of the mix of those two things that are both contributing.
Yeah. I thought I saw the stat in your story, which basically said like the rate of teen pregnancies from like 1970 or the 70s has been cut in half from then to today. Is that about right?
Yes, that's true. It's way, way down. The education part really plays a role. And abortions are actually falling as well. So it's not just that, there are more abortions happening. It's that there's actually a decline in sexual activity and a rise in birth control. So it's, including methods like, having intrauterine devices and things like that. So it's, there's also more methods of birth control that are available.
Wow. We're speaking with MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. She's written a piece entitled "More American Women Are Having Babies Later." And some are still conflicted about it. As you mentioned, there was a question or a survey that looked at kind of the best way to get ahead in your professional life. Is
right.
That by having babies earlier or later?
Right, exactly. And there's, obviously it's a very controversial topic and, you can't always control this and, every woman's experience is very different. But there have been sort of mixed results on, if people should you know, quote unquote, should have children earlier or later in their career. You know, there was one survey that said 37% of women said a woman who wants to be a top executive should actually have children earlier. And about the same amount, 41% said waiting is better. And so there's kind of, you know, two schools of thought on that. Either have your children earlier when you yourself are earlier in your career, and then, you know, once they're a little bit older, you can really, you know, lean in, so to speak, and really extend your career. Or, you know, some people feel that waiting a little bit longer than having your baby when you're a little more established is better. But it also so much depends on, you know, what your company's maternity policy is and all of those kinds of things. So, you know, it's obviously a very individual decision.
Thanks, Maria. It's MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, October 22. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Migrant caravan crosses from Guatemala into southern Mexico. Russia warns about the U.S. backing out of a nuclear arms treaty. Treasury Secretary in Saudi Arabia in the midst of controversy over the death of a journalist. In sports, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes now has 22 touchdown passes in his first eight games. That's a record. And why statistically this may be the best Red Sox World Series team. That story in about 20 minutes. President Trump's attacks on the Federal Reserve complicate a series of already challenging decisions facing the central bank. More from Wall Street Journal economics reporter Nick Timiraos. Nick, what's up here?
Yeah, what the president has been saying about the Federal Reserve really doesn't have a recent precedent. U.S. presidents have criticized the Fed before. George H.W. Bush in 1992 was the last president to do it. It's not unusual for the president, you know, historically to say what he thinks the Fed should do, though, it has not happened since 1992. What is unusual is for the president to say things in quite the manner that Donald Trump is. Obviously, Donald Trump has been different in many respects as a president, and this is another example. He's saying things about the Fed. He's blaming them for the market sell-off. He's saying that they've gone crazy. He's said that they were his biggest threat, and that's not something that we're really used to seeing.
Right. All right. So he feels what, the Fed is moving too quickly, raising interest rates?
That's what he said. But part of this is also laying the groundwork to blame the Fed if anything should go wrong in the economy or financial markets. And, you know, even though there's some speculation there about why he's doing this, if you look at the levers that the president has to influence Fed policy, the president has a lever. They get to nominate the people that sit on the Fed board. And the Fed board, along with a rotating number of Fed presidents that are not picked by the White House, vote every few weeks on monetary policy. Donald Trump has not picked people who would really take monetary policy in a radically different direction. So what he's instead doing is just kind of this running public criticism of the central bank. And the Fed faces some hard choices potentially over the next year. And while the Fed says presidential criticism isn't going to change how they operate, it does, up the stakes here a little bit, because now they know that if anything does go wrong, the president is probably going to blame them for it.
Yeah. If nothing else, as per usual, when the president does something like this, he started a discussion. Right. So is there a debate now among the experts about whether or not the interest rate hikes are too soon or too frequent?
That's exactly right. People are always going to talk in the markets about what the Fed is doing, but President Trump is probably elevating that debate and saying, look, unemployment rate's low, and the Fed might feel it needs to raise interest rates, you know, as slack disappears in the economy because you don't want to have inflation. But what President Trump is saying here is, well, where's the inflation? Why would you need to raise interest rates if we're not seeing an acceleration in inflation?
We're speaking with Nick Timiraos, Wall Street Journal economics reporter. His piece is called President's Sustained Criticism of the Federal Reserve Complicates a Tricky Balancing Act. There was one person who said in your story, it might be more likely that the Fed doesn't want to appear to be caving to the president, so they might just continue to do the opposite of what he wants.
That's right. The question isn't very difficult right now. The Fed, you know, most officials believe they need to keep raising interest rates. So the decisions they have to make right now aren't particularly difficult, but that may not be the case a year from now. Let's say a year from now, you have the unemployment rate continuing to fall, but inflation's maybe not rising much, and so it's a close call about what your models tell you you should do. And so the question is, on a close call where you don't have as much conviction about the policy path, do the president's criticisms get in your head at all? And there are some people who say, look, this is creating a political risk that they may have to take more seriously. The point that you identify is the other side, which says, look, if markets begin to question the Fed's credibility, then that's even worse. And so it might actually stiffen their backs a little bit. But the Fed so far is saying, we're going to ignore this. We're just going to do what we think we need to do for the economy. And if people criticize it, you know, then we'll deal with that.
Thanks, Nick. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Nick Timiraos. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples keeps your business moving with a huge selection of ink and toner, always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples' printing event this month, the prices are even lower. Staples. Never mind the reindeer and elves. This year, robots are helping deliver the holidays. With the busy holiday peak looming, retailers and logistics companies are ramping up automation as surging demand for labor outstrips the number of available workers. Much of the technology is being used in distribution operations, where workers pulling carts or driving forklifts are increasingly working alongside machines built to keep goods moving at a rapid pace. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Smith. Jennifer set this up.
Well, as you may have seen in other reports, the labor market is really, really tight this year, and that's both for retailers and for all the workers in the warehouses that replenish stores and the warehouses that are picking and packing and shipping these e-commerce orders. It's really, really tight. And so as a result, warehouse operators that had maybe been kind of, you know, maybe testing out automation here and there are kind of plowing deeper into this and looking for more tools, including robots, that can help them increase productivity, without having to add as many workers as they might normally do because the labor market is so tight.
Yeah. Explain how some companies are deploying this robot technology.
Well, so there's a range of ways that it's being done. On the warehouse side, there's a type of robot called a collaborative robot, which some people call cobots. And these are sort of smaller robots that can kind of share space with workers. Maybe it's a mobile robot that is kind of whizzing up and down the warehouse aisle and sort of helping workers pick. Pick orders by sort of signaling where to get it from. Workers can pick an item and sort of put it on this mobile cart that then sort of whizzes off to someone who's going to pack it up. In other cases, for instance, at the Gap, they've got these robotic arms that use artificial intelligence to help sort out orders, put them in cubbies so folks can take them away and pack them. So there's a number of different ways that robotics are being used.
News is somewhat good for the worker, I guess, who is still used to pack these boxes. I feel like a lot of workers and shifts have been replaced.
Well, so what employers are saying is that, look, we're not replacing workers with robots, what we're doing is helping improve efficiency, because particularly with e-commerce, the growth is just continuing. They see this demand going up and up, so they're just able to get orders out more quickly, by using machine options to kind of help human workers. They can get more orders out, they can get them out faster, but they're still using human workers and saying that most people are hiring hasn't decreased for staff. It's more that this is helping them kind of meet demand at a time when it's harder and harder to get workers. There's a lot of competition for talent, particularly in warehousing operations.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Smith. Her piece is called From Reindeer to Robots, Automation Set to Deliver This Holiday Season. One of the companies you focused on was XPO. They help like the likes of IKEA. Are they the ones using that the product called or from Gray Orange?
Yeah, this is an interesting robot. So it looks kind of like a bigger, more square Roomba, if that helps you with the visuals. But it's kind of enabled with artificial intelligence. And what it does is it syncs up with their order management system, and it kind of scoots around the warehouse, and it scoots under racks of products, and then it kind of pops up and moves the entire rack of product over to a worker who's at a station where they can fulfill multiple orders at one time, even as many as 48. And then it kind of, when a worker has pulled all the product that they need to, the robot will sort of whiz that rack away, put it somewhere else, and it's smart enough, it'll even sort of go and charge itself when it knows it's running out of gas. So that's sort of an interesting one, that can work in the warehouse to sort of supplement human labor.
Boy, and some of these robots like are connected to Bluetooth badges that employees wear?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's one of these cobots. This one, I believe, was by a company called Locus. It can sort of, it knows which workers it's approaching. So if a worker is approaching whose primary language isn't English, the robot senses that, and they have a sort of a touch screen display like an iPad that'll show which item they need to pick. There might be a photo, but if there's any language, they'll use the preferred language of the worker. So that's another way just to kind of help make the picking process faster and more accurate.
Thanks, Jennifer. Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Smith. It is 12 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Look into any great business, whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them, and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a group of Central American migrants walking into Mexico bound for the U.S. has grown to at least 5,000 people despite threats from President Trump to use the military to seal the border. The group, mostly from Honduras, streamed across a bridge over a river connecting Guatemala with Mexico. In tweets yesterday, Trump said full efforts were being made to stop the onslaught of illegal aliens from entering the U.S., and he called the caravan a disgrace to the Democrat Party. Many of the migrants cited poverty, corruption, and gang violence in Honduras for their flight. Saudi Arabia now says a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, was murdered, blaming a rogue operation for a killing that has sparked an international outcry. Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir told Fox News the act had been a tremendous mistake, and denied the powerful crown prince had ordered the killing.
This threat is to be the first step of a long journey. We are determined to uncover every stone. We are determined to find out all the facts, and we are determined to punish those who are responsible for this murder.
Under intense pressure to explain the journalist's whereabouts, the Saudis have offered conflicting accounts. Turkish officials believe Khashoggi was murdered by a team of Saudi agents inside the consulate, and they say they have evidence to prove it. The Trump administration is considering narrowly defining gender as a biological, immutable condition determined by genitalia at birth, the most drastic move yet in a government-wide effort to roll back recognition and protections of transgender people under federal civil rights laws. The Department of Health and Human Services is spearheading an effort to establish a legal definition of sex under Title IX. At least 30 people were injured when a large portion of a floor at a party near Clemson University's campus collapsed dropping people into the basement early yesterday morning. No deaths were reported, but police say some of the injured had broken bones. An investigation into the collapse is underway. The video game Fortnite has taken the country by storm, so it's no surprise that it holds the top spot for popular Halloween costumes. There are some more traditional costumes on Google's list behind Fortnite, including Spider-Man, Unicorn, Dinosaur, and Witch. There are a few surprises among the top 25, including Rabbit, Mouse, and Doll.
Mm-hmm. As long as you have that giant pickaxe that the one character uses, I think you're good. Everybody will know what you are. That's like the signature
thing. That's what you're going to do?
Yeah. By the way, I took your recommendation, saw A Star is Born.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah. Good movie.
Man, tremendous. If I couldn't like, I mean, I already love Lady Gaga. And now that she can act, I mean, there's nothing she can't do.
This is amazing to get you to go to the movies. You went to the movies. That's the story here.
It is a story. And I stayed awake.
Excellent.
6 minutes in front of the hour. For the fourth time since 2004, the Boston Red Sox are in the World Series. They host Game 1 against the L.A. Dodgers tomorrow. 538.com suggests this might be the best Red Sox World Series team yet. The 04 team was older than all of but two other World Series winners, five of that team's six top players by wins above replacement during that season, were on the older side of 30. This time around, seven of the nine best Red Sox by that measurement are under 30. Also, no team in 2004 saw more pitches per plate appearance than Boston. This year's Sox, though, closer to average. And following the advice of new manager Alex Cora, they also got plenty of hits on early batters' counts. By the way, this team went 7-2 in the postseason, better than any of other Boston's runs to the first two rounds, and the teams they beat this postseason, better than past opponents. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.